If you will, please open your copy of God's Word to the 19th Psalm this morning, Psalm 19. I am always so grateful for an opportunity to open the Word of God before you all, and I do so with fear and trembling. Psalm 19. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 14 of the psalm, and if you will, read along in your Bible with me. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, as we have already prayed this morning, and so we pray again, that you would be exalted, that your word would be seen in its rightful place as supreme and above all other things. Holy Spirit, would you guard my heart and my mind and my mouth, that I wouldn't say anything that is not true of you and your word, that I would only say that which glorifies the Son and edifies the saints. Convict us where we need convicting. Comfort us, Lord, where we need comfort. Make truth, your truth, plain and clear to us this morning. It is these things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The Word of God stands supreme above everything. There is no higher authority than the Word of God. It is supreme above all. I went online and I typed in thesaurus.com, and I looked up other synonyms for the word supreme, and nothing comes close to the word supreme. There is nothing in the human vocabulary that comes close to describing how high, how exalted the Word of God is. But it is high, and it ought to be exalted. Not because it is the word of men, but because it is the word of God. It is His word, and He has given it to us. The psalm that we are looking at this morning, Psalm 19, in these seven verses, should serve as a reminder to us as to why we do what we do. As to why, as the church of the Lord of Jesus Christ, we exalt His word above everything else. It should serve to us as those who have trusted in Him a reminder of the importance of and centrality of the word. The word stands above everything else. Everything is built upon the word. But why is that? Why do we do what we do? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we hold the Word of God above everything else? The psalmist here helps us understand why. David here in these seven verses gives six adjectives to describe the word, God's word, and its effect, its divine effect on our lives. And I want us to look at them this morning. Verse 7, look at your Bibles with me. The psalmist writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Is there anything else in this world, beloved, that comes close to being perfect? No. Is there anything in this world that restores the soul, that brings life to the soul? No. But the word is perfect. And here, the psalmist describes the word as God's law, his law. That is the whole of Scripture. Everything that God has said, it is perfect. It is perfect in its extent, meaning it can't be added upon. And it is perfect in its sufficiency, meaning that it is everything and all we need. His word is enough for us. It is perfect. It can't be perfected anymore. Everything that it contains is exactly what we need. It is sufficient. It is complete. It can't be added to or taken away from. And in its perfection, the psalmist says that his law restores the soul. When accompanied by faith, the word restores. God's word restores the soul. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what brings life to a dead soul. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, just as Terry read earlier, but we have been made alive in Christ through and by his word, read and proclaimed. We aren't restored by anything else. We aren't made right by anything else. There's nothing else in which our faith can be placed in but in Christ, seen and through his word. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When you think about the word, have you ever thought about it as a testimony? What is a testimony? Testimony gives credence to something. If someone was to go and testify and give in court, they are to give an account of something, something they have seen and witnessed. And God's word is a testimony to himself, what he has done, how he has been faithful when his people have been faithless, how he restores and gives life to dead believers or dead unbelievers and makes them believers in him, how he has brought us near through the blood of his son. God's word is a testimony to himself, to us, and it is sure, meaning it's true. It can't be questioned. God's testimony is true because it's from him. That's really what we do here every Sunday when you think about it. We give testimony. This is what the Lord has done. This is what he is doing and is doing. His word is perfect. It restores the soul. It is a testimony to himself. It is sure. It is true, making wise the simple. It is trustworthy. There's nothing in the word of God that cannot not be trusted. It is fully trustworthy. Nothing in God's word can cause distrust. Nothing in God's word can cause us to worry, cause us to stray, cause us to doubt. You read any other book, you read anything made by man, and you will doubt. You will stray. You will worry. But being in God's word will never cause such a thing, because his testimony is sure. It makes wise the simple. Makes us wise unto salvation. It's the New Testament writers, right? Causes us to see who we are and who he really is. This is the word of God. It makes wise the simple. God's message does. Those who see themselves, who know themselves to be spiritually destitute, sinners in need of a Savior. This book, God's word, is not for those who see themselves as wise in their own estimation. This is not a word that the world loves, is it? No, remember that. God's word, his message of salvation, is foolishness to the world. The world sees the message of Scripture, redemption, as foolish. But to us who are being saved, it is power. It is the wisdom of God. He goes on in verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing of the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Here, precepts and commandments are interchangeable. He is just using the same word said in a different way to describe one thing, God's word. Precepts, commandments, this is everything God has told us to do. Everything he has told us not to do. He says they are right. Rejoicing the heart. Has the word of God done that for you? Does it bring rejoicing in your heart to know and do and be obedient to God's precepts, his commandments? Does it rejoice your heart to know what he has said and to do it? This is what it does for the believer. This is what it does for those who have trusted in the Lord. It rejoices the heart. And negatively, when we don't obey it, it brings discomfort, doesn't it? Because we know what's right. His commandments are right, rejoicing the heart. We can stand sure on what God has said because it is right. You look at every other man-made system and it's flawed. And this isn't a system and it isn't man-made. It is from God. Therefore, it can only be right. Again, it cannot be improved upon. It is perfect. It is complete. It is sure. It is trustworthy. And it is not only true in and of itself, but it is truly good. That's what he means when he says that it is right. There's nothing in it wrong. What God has told us to do is pure. God has never asked any of us to do anything that would cause us to stumble or that would lead us away. He has only told us what is right. And when we do what he says, doesn't it bring rejoicing? Doesn't it bring comfort and assurance to our lives when we just obey and do what God says? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Shows us how to live. Shows us what to do and what not to do. Aren't we thankful for that? We don't have to live aimlessly wondering what God's will is for our life. We know what his will is. We know what his commandments are. We know what he expects us to do, how we ought to live. And in doing that, it only rejoices the heart and enlightens the eyes. Terry and I have coffee every Sunday morning. And when we have coffee, we talk about so often what our lives looked like before we came to Christ. And it isn't until after our eyes having been enlightened, we are able to look back and go, Lord, why did I do Why did I live that way? Because our eyes, having been enlightened, we see the error of our ways before coming to Christ. We see what was wrong and so woefully deficient in us, in that we couldn't do anything good. But the Word, being perfect, being all that it is, showed us who God is, showed us the plan of redemption and salvation, and brought us to Christ. He's showed us how to live. He's enlightened our eyes. Verse 9. He goes on, he says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous all together." Fear and judgments. I don't think we usually think of God's word, what he has said, as fear and judgments, right? Have you thought of it that way? What does the word say about the fear of the Lord? It is the beginning of wisdom. How do we know who God is? Where do we get this wisdom from? This book. By doing what he says. This isn't fear as in you fear a monster or a boogeyman. This is fear of reverential awe and respect. Every time we read the word of God, every time the word of God is proclaimed, it should produce a holy fear in you of the Lord. We know what he has said. We're going to be held to a higher standard because we know what he said. It should produce reverential awe and fear in you. It is clean. It is clean. Fear and clean? It's pure. It causes us to see him for who he is. And in doing so, we see ourselves for who we are. Sinners in need of him and his grace and mercy. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Again, God's word, the sixth and final adjective to describe God's word is judgments. They are true. They are righteous altogether. There's not been one thing that God hasn't said that isn't right. There's not been one thing that God has commanded that isn't true or good. This is what God's word is. It is free of defilement. It is inerrant. It is free from error. It is infallible. It's incapable of failing. It is sufficient. It's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. This is the word of God. I really don't know how else to describe it. I really don't know what else to say on it. There is so much here in these few little verses that it could fill up the whole ocean in the universe over twice. And I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface. If we contemplate on God's word enough, I just feel so woefully deficient. Like, where do I even begin? Lord, this is overwhelming everything you've given us. Do you feel that way? The psalmist here is exhausting every possible word he can to describe God's word. And he's given it to us. All of it. That in itself is a miracle. What grace is that, that God has given us his word? His perfect word. God didn't have to speak, but he did. God didn't have to reveal himself, but he did. And he's given us more than we could ask or think in his word. And his word is perfect. That should cause us great rejoicing and great praise. That should cause unfettered obedience to him. that he has given us all that we have in his word. This is why the word is supreme. Anytime somebody recommends a book to me, I ask, okay, well, who's the author? Because that tells you a lot about the book. The author of this book is God Almighty. A book is only as good as its author. And this author is the creator and current sustainer of the universe. He is the one that condescended and took on human flesh and lived in our place and died on the cross for our sins. That's the author of this book. And he's given it to us that we may know him, that we may proclaim his word to dead sinners, that they may be restored to life. What grace is that? Shame on those who peddle the word of God. Shame on us when we've tried to make cheap substitutes for the word of God. The word of God is perfect. It is sufficient. It is everything we need. What has the word of God done for you? Have you been changed? If I were to have given you a piece of paper, and before we even read this scripture, and I told you to describe the word of God for me, what it does, what it's done for you, would you be able to write down this? He has finished describing the word of God objectively, and then he goes into its effect on him. Look at verse 10. He says, they, that is the word of God, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. We all know what gold is. We all know what honey is. Gold is something of value. It's monetary value. You can buy, sell, and trade with it. It's what the world is currently pursuing right now. He says the word of God is more desirable than that. Do you desire the word of God more than you desire momentary things of this world? For the psalmist, he says that the word is more desirable than gold. If everything were taken away from you today and you just had the word of God, would you be content? Brothers and sisters, because we know Christ, because we have God's word, we are more rich than anybody. We have more than anything this world could afford today. Thank you, God. My prayer for me, my prayer for us as a church is that our desire for the word would grow and grow and grow, so that everything else just becomes so strangely dim that it doesn't matter what we have or don't have. As long as we have God's word, we're good. It's okay, because it is enough. It is sufficient. It is more desirable than gold. If we have the whole world but don't have the word, what do we have? Nothing. What does it profit us to have a gigantic church budget, to have a gigantic church building, but be devoid of the word? Nothing. Doesn't profit us anything, but because we have the word, we have everything. It is more desirable than anything else this world can afford. It is sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It satisfies. It nourishes. It brings life. This is God's word. This is why we exalt the Word over everything else. Because it shows us who God is. Because it shows us Christ, the living Word, who gives life. What can be put above that? Nothing. Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Spoken clearly. For us who know and serve the Lord, it serves as a warning, doesn't it? We see the warnings of Scripture. What happens if we don't heed and obey? And we've certainly seen the downfall of those who don't heed and obey. But in keeping them, there is great reward. There is no regret in being obedient to Christ and His Word. Have any of you ever regretted being obedient? I have never met one believer that said, man, you know, I really wish I would have started being obedient later in life. No. In fact, the testimony of all of us is, Lord, why didn't I start earlier? How could I have lived like that so long? Not following you. But in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Verse 12. Acquit me of my hidden faults after laying out and explaining the Word of God. The psalmist here is overwhelmed. Because the Word lays bare. The Word splits. The Word cuts. The Word divides. Sometimes it's not pleasant, is it? Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As sinners in a fallen world, sometimes reading the Word of God, opening it up and letting it read you hurts and it stings. But in doing so, it also brings us back to the Great Shepherd and it restores the soul. It brings life. Who can discern his errors? Can you discern your errors? Can you discern your own heart? No. So often I think I know more than what I actually do. And when I start to dig down and read the Word of God, I realize I know nothing. That I am about this big. I can't even discern my own heart. Lord, acquit me of my hidden faults. His prayer is, Lord, I don't even know when I'm sinning all the time. I'm not even aware of all the sins I commit, but acquit me of them. Lord, forgive me of them. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins and let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. His prayer after meditating on and contemplating on the Word of God is, Lord, keep me back from sin. Keep me back from sin. Again, the Word shows us who God is and how we ought to live in light of that. It should cause you to turn from sin. Our prayer should be, Lord, keep us back from sins, presumptuous sins. Don't let them rule over me. Let your Word rule over me. Then I will be blameless and shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Beloved, this is why we do what we do. This is why the Word of God stands above everything else, because it is His Word. There can be no other substitute for the Word of God. There is no other thing that can bring life. There is no other thing that can bring joy. There is no other thing that can bring comfort and sorrow. It is only the Word. It is only the Word. Not mankind. Not mankind's devices, but God and His Word. Every word is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. Every word. These ancient words, ever true, are the only thing that can change you and me. Because they're divine words. They're righteous words. They're pure. Every word in this book is the word of God, so it therefore must be exalted above everything else. I don't know why we would turn to anything else other than the Word. It reminds me of Peter's confession to our Lord in the Gospel of John. You'll remember this. Peter says, "Lord, to whom else will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." The Word of God alone has the words of eternal life. Where else will we go? Where else will you go and turn to? The government? Heaven forbid. Podcasts? Mercy, no. Essential oils? Absolutely not. Nothing else gives life. Nothing else restores the soul. Only the words of Jesus. Only the words of God. And every word in here is the word of God. This is why, beloved, we must be in the Word. Not just Sunday, but day in and day out. I cannot get enough of the Word. I must have it. The moment I don't is the moment I start to be like Corey. And that's a scary place to be. We must be in the Word. If we're not in the Word, we'll be in the world. And the world will consume you. The world will eat you up. Just turn on the news. So much confusion. So many conspiracies. Everybody's driven mad. A lot of people are. You know, I was speaking of podcasts. I was listening to a podcast. And this guy whom we would all know, whom is not a believer, asked the person he was interviewing. He said, "You know what? One thing I've noticed about Christians is they're just living normally. They're just kind of going about their lives. They don't seem mad or crazy." And the guy he was interviewing said, "Yeah, because they have the Word. We know what's true. If we're not in the Word, we'll be in the world and we'll get caught up in the world and we'll be driven mad by conspiracies and other weird things. Don't be controlled by the world. Be controlled by the Word. Be in the Word. Consume the Word. Relish the Word. Live the Word. Love the Word. You can never get too much of the Word. Everything else you can have too much of, and it make you sick, or it cause some sort of issue. Not the Word. It's what our trust is in. It's what our whole trust should be in, is the Word. Some put their trust in horses. Some put their trust in men and chariots, but we will put our trust in the name of the Lord. Let me paraphrase that. Some put their trust in worldly things, but we will put our trust in the Word of the Lord. All our trust is in this because it's His Word. I'm afraid that sometimes we put our trust in other things. Things that are temporary. Things that do not last. Only this lasts. Only this endures forever. What will you put your trust in? Instead of putting trust in the things of this world that cannot deliver or satisfy. Put your trust in the one who lives forever, the one who has saved you, the one who has redeemed you. Put your trust in the Word. Why are we people of the Word? Is it because that's what the Reformers did? Is it because of a preacher we heard online? Is it because of what the Puritans did? No, although we stand on their shoulders and I appreciate them, we're people of the Word because God has changed our hearts. Because He's saved us and enlightened our eyes. Because He's brought us near. This is the Word of God. Do you see the importance of it? I feel like I've really just barely scratched the surface of it. You can't exhaust it, and you can't get enough of it. This is the Word of God. Everything else fades away except for the Word. Isaiah 47-8. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of Yahweh blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. I love that. You and I are nothing but grass. We sprout up one day and we're gone the other. I cannot get my grass to grow to save my life. And I think the Lord has kept it that way to show me that I am here one day and gone the next. But look at what Isaiah says. The grass wither and the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. This is why we do what we do. God, give us grace and mercy to continue exalting the Word, being people of the Word. And may Him alone be glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have spoken to us through Your Word, that we are so insufficient and incapable of doing anything. But You've given Your Word, which is perfectly sufficient. It is enough. It is all we need. It is above all that we could ask or think. So, Lord, may we continue as a church to exalt it, to be shaped and molded by it, to proclaim it faithfully. Lord, this moment as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, would You point us to the true and living Word, Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us and rose again. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.